All right, this is the Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate, and we have another great show for you. At the back end of the show, we're going to hear a brand new statement from the RevComs, a declaration, a call to get organized now for a real revolution, read by participants of the Revolution Nothing Less, or RNL, show on YouTube. And that will be followed by Noche Diaz and Andy Z from the RNL show, talking about plans for International Revolutionary May 1st. And opening the show up, we're going to hear an interview I did earlier with Miriam Claren. Miriam Claren is fighting hard to free her mother from the grips of the deadly and brutal Iranian government. Her mother, 66-year-old Nahid Taghavi, has been detained in Evin prison for months with no access to the outside. Nahid is sick and has serious medical conditions, which put her in great danger of dying. She has faced deadly illnesses while in prison, and she could die if she contracts COVID-19. Nahid is a prisoner of conscience and must be released. Her daughter, Miriam, has made it clear she will move heaven and earth to free her mother. We're going to start with a statement which Miriam recorded for the emergency campaign to free Iran's political prisoners.
First of all, I want to thank Marsha Ross and Jeff Kaufman for shining a bright light on the heroism of Nasrin Sotoudeh, and through her story let the world know what is happening in Iran. Like Nasrin, my mom, Nahid Taghavi, is a political prisoner in the Islamic Republic of Iran who fought for the rights of other human beings. By their words, people like Nasrin and my mom set an example to care about other people, about the world we live in, and to struggle for the world to be a better place. My mother is 66 years old with high blood pressure and other serious medical needs. She had moved us from Iran to Germany in 1983. Since 15 years, she's commuting between Germany and Iran. On October 16, 2020, my mom was taken away by the security guards from her home in Tehran. The security guards used ambulances to cover their act of kidnapping my mother. Since then, she's being held in Evin prison, isolation section 2A, under the control of the Revolutionary Guard, and the reasons for her arrest have not been disclosed. She has no access to a lawyer and no consular support despite her German citizenship. For several weeks, we don't even had a sign of life. She was not allowed to call. At the 100th day of her detention, her brothers were allowed to see her, separated by a pen and in the presence of the Revolutionary Guard. They talked to her for about 30 minutes, then my mom was blindfolded and taken away by a guard. The prosecutor's office is refusing her choice of lawyer. They told my uncles that only a certain number of lawyers trusted by the government can see the files. They also said my mother's case will not be brought to court until she confirms her charges. This is ridiculous and shows a court case has no real value in Iran. The prisoner is placed in solitary confinement for months, broken through brutal interrogations, methods, and forced to make false confessions. Unfair trials and arbitrary prison sentences are the results. As a daughter and as a human being, I want to be the voice of the voiceless. Everywhere in the world, the political prisoners are in prison because they cared for the people who are hungry, deprived, forced to work in almost slave conditions, because they cared for environmental destruction, which makes everybody suffer. And most of all, those who are already deprived, because they defend the people as lawyers, writers, artists, poets, because they organize protests against national and women's oppression. In short, because they challenged in many ways the way these rulers are destroying people and the earth. Political prisoners are people who have large hearts and broad minds because they lived their lives for people and not just for themselves. I started the campaign Free Nahid to raise awareness about my mother's arrest. On change.org, Freedom for Nahid Taghavi, you can sign up and find updates for her case. I thank you very much for inviting me. I wish freedom for all political prisoners. زندانی سیاسی آزاد باید گردند.
Now let's hear my interview with Maryam Claren. All right, I'm very pleased to welcome to the show Maryam Claren. And we're talking with Maryam about her fight to free her mother. And this is an extremely important thing. I want people to listen to it, and I want them to think about what's concentrated in all this. Maryam, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Well, let's jump into this, because I want to get it, as I was saying, I want to get as much as I can about this. It's such an outrageous scene, and I know that it's something that's been, you know, has to have been chewing on you for quite some time. Tell us about your mom, and your mom's name is Nahid Taghavi.
Yes, yes, correct.
Okay, so tell us about your mother, Nahid. Who is she and what's happened to her, including very recently? But let's talk about that first to begin with.
My mother, Nahid Taghavi, is a 66-year-old retired architect, and she is a dual national, German-Iranian, and she is a political prisoner in the Islamic Republic of Iran. She was arbitrarily arrested on October 16, 2020 in her apartment in Tehran. Her German passport and other personal items were confiscated, and she's being held in the notorious Evin prison in solitary confinement in Iran. And yes, that happened about 6 months ago. Therefore, she's a political prisoner.
Mm-hmm. Now, just so people can be clear on this, how exactly did she end up going to prison?
That's a good question. My mom was communing between her two homelands, Germany and Iran, since many years. I think it was about 15 years. She was spending 5 to 6 months per year in Iran, 5 to 6 months per year in Germany. And the last time she went back to Iran was before the pandemic starts. And she used to come back in March 2020, but because of the coronavirus and the pandemic, she could not return. So we decided that she will come later. Then this cruel thing happened. She was arrested by the Revolutionary Guard in October.
So let's pursue this a little bit more, because, you know, when you're talking about all this, I keep thinking what the conditions are that she's facing in prison, which is, you know, it's not an area known for its welcome to the neighborhood, kids. It's actually, it is something that is has a long history of intense, what would you call it, going against people who don't necessarily feel, don't necessarily do the same thing or think the same way that the government thinks. Let's talk about that a little.
Exactly. The Evin prison, where my mom is right now, is a prison for political prisoners. There are only political prisoners in this prison. And it is very notorious, very well known on international level. And it is very famous because in the 80s, there were a lot of executions for political prisoners. I think in 1987, thousands of political prisoners were hanged at one day. It is very bad conditions in this prison, and this is what my mom is facing right now. And what makes it more cruel, she's there in solitary confinement in the very, very notorious isolation tract called 2A. And this isolation ward is under the control of the Revolutionary Guard. The Revolutionary Guard is a state in Iran. They control the whole system. They control the intelligence services. They control the military. They control a lot of economy things in Iran. And they don't have to give an answer to anybody in Iran. They only give an answer to the supreme leader. So she is there in this solitary confinement section, and the conditions are very, very poor in this section. For example, she is alone in a room which is about 2 meter long and 3 meter wide. I think "wide" is the correct wording, I hope. There are white walls, very high white walls. She has no pillow. She has no bed. She has to sleep on the stone floor. And every time when they took her out, for example, for a short break to have fresh air. It's about 20 minutes per day when she's allowed to go to the yard with a ward. She's never alone and she's always blindfolded, so she cannot see anything what's happening around her. And also the conditions, what they give the prisoners for eat and stuff like this. My mom told me that she hadn't had a fruit or vegetable or something like this during this 5 months. So she's getting weaker and weaker. Her skin is looking like leather. Her hair is falling down, and the whole conditions are very, very, very bad. So it's on every international law and every international agreement. It's unbearable what she's going through in this solitary confinement. And this is only about the conditions. When my mom was arrested, she was interrogated in 80 sessions, in total 1,000 hours, without an access to a lawyer, without telling us the charges, only her and the interrogators. So this is mental torture. There is the physical torture and there is the mental torture. And this is what my mom is going through since almost 6 months.
Now, when you started the campaign to free your mother, you basically, and you know, you wanted to raise awareness about your mother's arrest, but that made you see that you were living in a bubble in a certain way. And you know, you talk about coming to see how widespread the violations of human rights are in relation to this. Let's talk about that a little, because I think that's really important for people to see. Yeah. There's a particular attack on your mother, but there's also a wider attack on the people in general.
Exactly. The thing is, when my mom was arrested, the first thing that I knew I had to do is to raise awareness and to raise my voice and to tell the people of the world, somebody is arbitrarily arrested on trumped up charges, and the world needs to know. And especially because she's dual national, I wanted the German government to take action and to secure her release. So I start researching. Researching what's going on in Iran. What's the problem? Why do they arrest people? And then, like you said, my bubble completely was damaged, because I saw that this is a very, very systematic human rights violation problem that we have in Iran. This human rights violations have a history about 40 years since the Iranian Revolution, and systematic human rights violation in an unjust judicial system are commonplace in Iran. Lawyers, journalists, religious minorities, writers, artists are arbitrarily arrested. The prisoner is principally guilty. In custody, the only thing that counts is extorting evidence and confession. And these come from hours of interrogation, torture, and solitary confinement. The political prisoners are not allowed to receive legal counseling or visitors, and are exposed to the interrogation and torture methods without any protection. Once the so-called investigate pause is over, the prisoner still doesn't have access to a self-selected lawyer. The judiciary system wants the prisoners to take a lawyer who they trust. So there is no independent lawyers in Iran. And in unfair and secret kangaroo trials, the prisoners are sentenced to arbitrary prison terms, punishment methods such as flogging. The whole judiciary process is so unfair, is so unlawful under every international law or human rights convention. And it's the first thing is the reason why people get arrested, because they have another system of belief, because freedom of speech, because women who don't want to wear the forced hijab on their head, or lawyers who want to defend political prisoners, people who are protesting against the death penalty. They are all arbitrarily arrested, and then the whole judiciary process, which I described, gives them a high sentence and sometimes death sentence like this. And the people of Iran are completely in this situation. And my mother's case is not an exception. She's even, I have the lucky thing is that she's a dual national. She has the German citizenship. And so I could make a lot of noise about her arrest. But I'm very sure if she was only an Iranian 66-year-old woman, if I would have told the media in Germany, for example, oh, my mom was arrested, nobody would cover it. But if you say, okay, there is a German-Iranian woman, the people start to cover it. And I really suffer for the people who don't have this voice. So I think it's very, very important to get awareness of this huge issue and problem of the political prisoners in Iran and to let the people know.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me go back to something that you started to talk about, and I think it's really important. We're talking about these human rights violations, and you talk about that your mother was kept in solitary confinement for 151 days and was interrogated 80 different times for a total of 1,000 hours. And that was just during her first 147 days of imprisonment. Let's talk about that.
Yes, as I told you, that's only one part of the human rights violation. So she told us on the phone that she was interrogated 80 times, in total 1,000 hours. And I started to count and I thought, okay, this is about 13 hours every day, you know. You are completely alone. You are in this solitary confinement. You have no access to a lawyer. You don't know what is, are they allowed to do this to me? Nobody can tell you what's going on. She was even not allowed to call us. She only calls us after 12 days after her arrest, only to tell I'm alive. And then we did not hear anything from her about 1.5 months. So I would say the first 2 months, she was completely alone with her interrogator. And after that, she was also only allowed to call several times. And the cruelty does not stop. After the interrogation was finished, they kept her 2 months completely alone in solitary confinement. She was in a really, really bad conditions because, you know, the interrogation was over. And you are sitting in this room and you don't know what's going on. Are they going to bring it to a trial tomorrow or next year? And you have no access to a newspaper or to anything. I did not hear the voice of my mom 5 months. And after 5 months, that was 4 weeks ago, they came and brought her finally to the public ward. The public ward of Evin prison is still a prison. It is still notorious. But if you are in solitary confinement 5 months, it means a lot to you in quality thing to have people around you. There are 38 other women who are all political prisoners, and they are lawyers environmentalists and like this. They talked to each other, and she was getting better. You know, we were still completely in our free Nahid and free all political prisoners work, but I was happy that she had people around her. And 3 days ago, on Monday, arbitrarily, she was taken back to solitary confinement after 20 days in public ward. And they are so cruel. They told her they are going to a doctor with her to make a blood test because she has diabetes. And she was going into the car. They brought her to solitary confinement, to the same section, as I told you a few minutes before. And now she's in solitary confinement, and we have no clue why they brought her back. Is this a mind game? What is going on? This is torture.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the Michael Slate Show, and we're listening to an interview with Maryam Claren, who has been fighting for the past 6 months to free her mother, Nahid Taghavi, as part of freeing all of Iran's political prisoners. Now tell me this, what kinds of things have you been doing to win her freedom?
after her arrest, I think it was 5 or 6 days after her arrest, I started the social media campaign Free Nahid, hashtag Free Nahid. I created a Twitter account for her. I created an Instagram account for her. And I started to talk with NGOs who are focusing on political prisoners. In Germany, there is one NGO called International Society of Human Rights, and of course, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch. I told them about her arrest. They start to create a profile of her, and they also start to campaign and raise awareness of her case. Then the first media coverage started, and since then, today it's 171 days. I try to raise awareness about her case every day. I talk to German members of the parliament. I talk to the German government. I talk to NGOs. I'm in contact with a big number of families of other political prisoners and also to former political prisoners, and so on and so on. I try every day my best to free her and to secure the release of all the other unjustly detained people.
Now, just let's just review something real quick, because I don't want people to forget this. You know, when you talk about this, what actually was it? I want people to think about this. What actually was the crime that your mother committed in the eyes of the government?
To be honest, we don't know what are the specific charges. Because, as I told you, we don't have an access. She don't have access to a lawyer, and that lawyer we have chosen for her has no access to the case. So we don't know what is really the charges. They are always ridiculous. The charges, they are nothing that we understand in our system of belief. For example, it's something like propaganda against the state. Propaganda against the state. So you are making advertising against the state. You and I, because I'm talking to you right now, this is in their eyes propaganda against the state, you know, because they don't accept freedom of speech or system of belief and in what you believe. The only thing my mom told her brother was, I'm an innocent person and I'm imprisoned because of my system of belief and because my freedom of speech. This is it. So what they are charging her exactly is uncertain. She is in a very uncertain step right now, you know, because I think we will know about her charges at the trial day, mm-hmm. Now, the sham trial day.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to dig into this a little bit more, too. In the beginning, you started to talk about this, and I wanted to try and see if you had any more to say about this, because I think it's also very, very important in relation to what's happening to your family, but also what's happening in general. You know, when you talk about what you've learned about the situation of political prisoners in Iran, I think it's really important, the kinds of things, you know, there's the kinds of things that you've been doing to help win her freedom. But there's also this whole other question of what have you learned about the situation of political prisoners in Iran in general?
I've learned that everybody who does not fit in their, I mean with their, in the regime's system of belief, is potentially an enemy and needs to be jailed. That is the first thing I've learned when I started to campaign for my mother's release, because I started to study the cases of other political prisoners, and it was so cruel and so confusing to me, because there is so many people and the charges are always something I don't understand, but they're so systematic. For example, there is a group of environmentalists. They were protecting the cheetah. Is it called cheetah? The something like a lion, a panther. Mm-hmm. And they were protecting this animal. That was their job. Eight young men and women. And they were always in the deserts of Iran. And watching this cheetah, how this animal is drinking and doing this and doing that. They jailed them. These 8 people were over a year in solitary confinement. These 8 people went to a trial without a lawyer, and they were sentenced to 10 years, 6 years, 5 years, because they were protecting environment. You know, that has the most impact on me, this case, because I thought the government who is arresting people who want to protect nature, what they are going to do with other people. And then you see other cases like Nasrin Sotoudeh. She's a very famous case. She's a human rights lawyer. She was advocating for political prisoners. They arrested her. She is sentenced to 33 years and 76 flogs. Because she was a human or she is a human rights lawyer, you know, and that shows me nobody is safe. You know, you are only safe if you completely fit, if you don't open your mouth. And the people in Iran are hungry. The people in Iran, the pandemic is so bad there. The people in Iran want to have work, and it's their right to go on the street and protest for their rights. But what the Iranian government does is when they go on the street, they kill them on the streets. In November 2019, there were very famous November protests in Iran. 1,000 people were killed in the streets only because of protesting.
Now, you know, I have a couple more things I wanted to ask you. And, you know, you're talking about the situation of political prisoners in Iran. And it is, I think that's one area where people really do get, a lot of people get hit by that target. You know, they get hit in that in terms of being looked at as these are the people that are trying to bring down the regime. And, you know, and it could be somebody who's doing that or somebody who isn't doing that. But it is a way where the situation of political prisoners in Iran is sort of, you know, very, 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 it's like you're saying, it's a very tight schedule, but it impacts broadly in terms of whoever the government seems to think that it's, you know, it's the enemy. When you were talking about everything that you've been talking about, I was thinking about this thing that I know you have followed, or I don't know if you're part of it, but an emergency appeal, and it's an emergency campaign to free Iran's political prisoners. And I thought it would be really important for people to understand what that is. What does it mean? You know, that there is a battle to free Iran's political prisoners. Can you talk about that a little?
Yes. Exactly. There is an emergency appeal about the life of Iran political prisoners hang in the balance. You must act now. And I think that's very, very important. The emergency appeal comes from the U.S. People in the U.S. created it. And, you know, I even did not know about the struggle of political prisoners before my mom was arrested. There were sometimes headlines which I was reading and I was thinking, oh my God, but then I go back to my ordinary life. So now that my mom is arrested and I've learned about all the struggle and all the problem from political prisoners, I think it's very, very important that we raise awareness about this big issue, and the people of the world need to know what is going on. People are getting arrested because of what they are thinking and so on. People are going through a very, very unfair judiciary system. People are sentenced to death. There are people sitting on death row in Iran, and nobody is talking about them. Iran has one of the highest numbers of executions in the world. You know, and I think that's a really, really big issue, and the struggle of the people in Iran and the world needs to know about that. So I appreciate a lot that there is an emergency appeal, I would appreciate it a lot if the people of the United States get aware of this problem.
So tell me this, where to now? What can people do? I think it's really important for people to understand. I mean, you're talking about a lot of very important things, including, you know, what you just said. I think it really does, and we could speak a little bit more on that. You know, the idea that people can't just sit back or say, well, yeah, I heard about that, you know, and then just go about their business. Because once you hear about something like that and the horror that's being unleashed in Iran against the people, then you have to actually take a step and you have to take a step and think, okay, well, one, who's backing this up? I mean, the U.S. is like, you know, also that they have a role in, you know, this whole development of these campaigns to, you know, go after people. But let's talk now about what you're thinking of in terms of the emergency campaign that I know you've had some familiarity with. But, you know, what drew you to sign that emergency appeal and join the emergency campaign to free Iran's political prisoners? And what's it going to mean?
First of all, I want to encourage everybody who is hearing my voice to be aware of this problem. And if my words were not clear enough, only putting in Google political prisoners in Iran, and then you can find a lot of articles and invest 10 minutes to learn more about it. And if you want to help, I encourage everybody to sign the emergency appeal to free Iran's political prisoners. It's very important because I think only if the pressure comes from the people, the governments will take action, will make moves. So I really would appreciate if everybody who's hearing my voice would invest a few minutes to learn about the political prisoners and to sign the emergency appeal, because their lives are really, really hanging in the balance.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mariam Claren, thank you very much for joining us today. Is there anything you'd like to have people hear before we end this interview?
Thank you very much for having me, and thanks to everybody, to the audience who are hearing my voice. And I hope I could tell you a little bit about the struggle of political prisoners, and I would appreciate a lot if you all sign our emergency appeal.
All right. Thank you very much, Mariam. And thanks a lot for doing what you're doing and for being on the show today.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care now. That was Mariam Claren, the daughter of Nahid Taghavi. During the interview, we talked about the emergency campaign. This is the emergency campaign to free Iran's political prisoners. You can find it at freeiranpoliticalprisonersnow.org. This will also be on all of my social media. We're going to take a musical break and be right back, so stay tuned.
We're in the middle of a revolution because I see the face of things to come. Oh, your constitution, well, my friend, it's gonna have to bend. I'm here to tell you about the destruction of all the evil it will have to end.
Now let's hear a declaration, a call to get organized for a real revolution from the RevComs, read by participants of the Revolution Nothing Less or RNL show on YouTube. And that will be followed by Noche Diaz and Andy Z from the RNL show talking about plans for International Revolutionary May 1st.
From the RevComs, a declaration, a call to get organized now for a real revolution.
Let's get down to basics. We need a revolution, nothing less.
To everyone who can't stand this world the way it is, who is sick and tired of so many people being treated as less than human.
Who knows that the claim of liberty and justice for all is a cruel lie. Who is righteously enraged that injustice and inequality go on and on and on, despite false promises and honeyed words from people in power or those seeking power.
Everyone who agonizes about where things are headed and the fact that to be young now means being denied a decent future or any future at all. Everyone who has dreamed about something much better or even wondered whether that is possible.
Everyone who hungers for a world without oppression, exploitation, poverty, and the destruction of the environment. Everyone who has a heart to fight for something that is truly worth fighting for, you need to be part of this revolution.
This revolution is not just a good idea. It is actually possible.
Is this for real? Are we serious about this? And can we back it up? Yes. We are not here to repeat garbage that may be popular, or to spread the lies that are constantly told by the people in power and their mouthpieces in the media and elsewhere. We are here to bring the truth. So here are some basic truths we need to understand and live by.
Number one, the system we live under, the system of capitalism and imperialism, destroys lives and crushes spirits. It is the source of endless horrors for the majority of people in this country and all around the world. And it is increasingly threatening the very existence of humanity. The military of this country is not carrying out an honorable service. It is not some badass force that people should respect. It is doing the same thing around the world on a massive scale that the police are doing here, carrying out the cowardly killing and terrorizing of people in the service of the biggest oppressors in the world, the rulers of this country. And it is a major cause of the destruction of the environment. It is a hard but basic truth for the masses of people, and ultimately for humanity as a whole. There is no future or no future worth living under this system.
But there is a way to a world and to a future that is worth living and worth fighting for right now. Revolution. A real revolution. Not playing around with a few changes that leave this system in place and in power while benefiting only a small number. A revolution means a force of millions, drawn from many different parts of society and organized for an all-out fight to overthrow this system and replace it with a radically different and much better economic and political system, a socialist system, based on meeting the needs of the people and carrying forward the fight for a communist world where there will finally be an end everywhere to the exploitation, oppression, and destruction of the environment that is built into this system of capitalism imperialism. Anything less than this revolution will completely fail to deal with the root of the problems or lead to the actual solution.
Number two, revolutions are not possible all the time, but are generally possible only in rare times and circumstances, especially in a powerful country like this. This is one of those rare times and circumstances. This system is in real trouble, caught up in crisis and conflicts for which it has no easy or lasting solutions. Throughout this country, the workings of this system have given rise to deep divisions which cannot be resolved under this system. Society is being ripped apart. Those who rule are locked in bitter fight among themselves, and they cannot hold things together in the way they have in the past. Although there are a lot of bad things connected with this, and it could lead to something really terrible, it is also possible that we could wrench something really positive out of this revolution to put an end to this system and bring something much better into being.
We have seen the potential for revolution powerfully demonstrated just last summer when millions of people of all races and genders all over this country and all around the world rose up together against racist oppression and police murder. We have seen this potential and the outpourings of women in every country in the world refusing to put up with being abused and degraded. This potential is also revealed in the deep distress being expressed by scientists and millions of ordinary people about the continually worsening climate crisis and the threat this poses to the future of humanity. A crisis this system cannot solve, but can only make worse. But with all this, right now, only a small number of us have recognized the need for this revolution and are acting to make it happen. So there is crucial work that must be done now to win people to understand the need for revolution and act to make it real. To turn the potential for revolution into a powerful movement and organized force for an actual revolution.
Number three, to make this revolution a reality, we need leadership with the scientific method, the strategy and program that can shine a light through the madness and chaos that this system is constantly creating, and can lead in carving a path forward out of this madness to the radically new world we need. And we have that leadership in Bob Avakian, B.A. B.A. is the architect of a whole new framework for the liberation of all oppressed people and the emancipation of all humanity, the new communism. We are followers of B.A., and you need to follow B.A. too. There has never been a leader like this in this country, and there is no other leader like this in the world now. We cannot afford not to follow this leadership if we ever want to get free and put an end to this madness.
Number four, we need to urgently change this situation where not nearly enough people know about this revolution and are with it. We need to get this revolution and its leadership known everywhere. We need to challenge and struggle with people right around us and all over the country to do something that, yes, requires real heart and will make a positive difference for real. Become part of this revolution and follow this revolutionary leadership. We need to organize more and more people into the ranks of the revolution. Organizing people into this revolution means reaching out to all sorts of people, not just where there are protests and rebellions against oppression and injustice, but everywhere throughout society. Spreading the word about revolution and getting people together in real life and online to grapple with why an actual revolution is necessary, what such a revolution involves, and what kind of society this is aiming for. This will enable people who are new to the revolution to themselves become organizers for this revolution and to recruit more and more people to do the same. On this basis, and through the growing ranks of the revolution acting together as an increasingly powerful force, it will become possible to attract and organize the necessary numbers and build up the necessary strength to be in position to do what needs to be done.
We need to struggle hard with people to take up the orientation and strategy, the values and goals for this revolution, and to dedicate themselves to working for this revolution while we unite growing numbers of people to fight the abuse, brutality, and destruction perpetuated by this system. And through this all, to get thousands and then millions to be prepared and steeled to do away with this system that brings so much hell to people. We need to be wielding this growing revolutionary force to stand up to this system and its murderous oppressors, and to change the whole terrain, the political, social, and cultural institutions and atmosphere throughout society in order to weaken the hold of this system over people, win people away from acting to enforce and strengthen this system, and create the best possible conditions for this revolution to succeed.
To come back to basics, we need revolution, a real revolution. We cannot afford to waste these rare times and circumstances that could ripen into a real chance to to make revolution.
We cannot afford to squander the rare and precious leadership we have for this revolution. We have to get busy, build the movement and organize forces for revolution all over the country, and work tirelessly for this revolution, to actively prepare for the situation where this system can be brought down and something much better brought into being.
To get more of the tools and knowledge you need to become part of this revolution, and to go to work building for this revolution, get with those representing for this revolution right now. Become part of the revolution clubs around the country. Go to our website, revcom.us, regularly, and watch the RNL, Revolution Nothing Less show, every week. On all social media platforms, connect and follow at the RevComs.
To get deeper into this, there is also a longer version of this statement, which you can get directly from people representing for this revolution who are out in the neighborhoods and elsewhere. And you can go to revcom.us.
This has been a message from the RevCom, a declaration, a call to get organized now for a real revolution. I'm here with Noche Diaz, a spokesperson for the Revolution Club nationally, as well as here in Los Angeles, and the Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour. Noche, we just read and our audience heard the declaration and call to get organized now for an actual revolution that's been put out by the RevComs. This is a really big deal, that there's a way out of the madness of this system through revolution, that if we could get organized and bring forward the thousands of people we don't have now in this situation that we face with the people at the top of the society so divided in the kind of crisis that presents itself, this could be one of those rare times when we could actually make a revolution and win. So we're going to be bringing this out on May 1st, and I think we should talk to people about why you should come to May 1st, what it's going to be, and statement's going to be at the centerpiece of that, but May Day is a big deal in its own right, and we're really looking forward to seeing a lot of people out with us.
Right. I mean, May Day is a revolutionary holiday that's, been celebrated around the world, that needs to be celebrated again with the real possibility for a different future that's at the core of this declaration. And in short, that's why people need to come together and celebrate an international revolutionary May Day. If you're one of those people who cares about, the way people are suffering, or even if you're beginning to teach yourself not to care because you think nothing else is possible, but you don't want to snuff that part out of you, this is a chance to relight the hope that many people feel when they start to think about and learn about the way people suffer, but also think about how it could end, okay? And not just with good feelings and good wishes, but with real scientific substance. Okay, this is why people are going to learn about not only the revolution that we're building, but the leader we have in Bob Avakian, okay, who's actually leading this revolution and has developed the understanding that makes this really possible. So look, a lot of people right now are either looking out at the world in a lot of dread, okay, a lot of young people thinking there's really nothing to do except turn inward and accept that there is no future. But that is not the only thing that we have to do, okay? Mm-hmm. That is not the only thing that people can, just sort of resign themselves to. And we have to make real that possibility that exists because of this leadership that we have. And to do that, we need to come together. We need to get organized. We need to be building up the strength and ranks of this revolution. And May Day is going to be a time where people are going to be coming together to manifest that. So in simple, tell your friends to come. And one, we're going to be all declaring that we refuse to accept slavery in any form. Okay, we are human beings. Two, come together to learn about the revolution and about Bob Avakian, who's leading this. And three, be part of getting organized together with others to make this revolution real and to go forward from there.
Okay, so Noche, what's going to be happening at May 1st in Los Angeles and in cities around the country?
Right, so what's going to be happening on the day, We're going to have food and fun, and there'll be speakers and, you know, opportunity to come together in that kind of a way. If you're going to revcom.us or following at social media, you'll see plans announced in your area. But if you're also trying to make plans your own on your own, send them in so that we can let people know how to connect up with you and the different kinds of gatherings that are happening around the country.
Okay, and people will get, you know, as we're talking about, they'll hear some really substantive presentations and film clips from Bob Avakian, but substantive presentations about this statement and the revolution that we need so urgently, and for which there's a plan for. So all of this will be happening. This is a time for people to meet the revolution and to meet each other.
Oh, and let me just really emphasize, you know, you don't have to be in the know. You don't have to, you know that much. And even if this is the first thing you're hearing, okay, if you've seen this show, you've seen enough to not only come, but to also start making your own plans and sending them in. I really want to emphasize that, you know, we're really, everyone is needed because the future is at stake.
Well, I really like this slogan. We are human beings. We refuse to accept slavery in any form. And of course, this statement being at the centerpiece of May Day is going to actually bring that out. There's a way to actually get rid of that slavery through an actual revolution if we get organized for it. But also the we are human beings, I thought what you were saying is very important. There's a lot of people out there who constantly are straining to assert their humanity, but it constantly gets crushed. Their spirits get crushed if they don't literally get crushed and thrown into the prisons or the pandemic or being killed at like George Floyd by the police. And this is a day when people who feel this way should come together with other people and find out that there's actually a way out of the madness. You know, Bob Avakian has written a piece called Hope for Humanity on a Scientific Basis. And this is going to be an important occasion, like you said, for people to learn about him. I was wondering if you could talk about, though, we want a lot of people to come out, but we want people to come to this who are already checking it out, already part of building this, already working on this, trying because they want to see something different. If you could just talk a little bit about how you see people working on this beforehand, spreading the word, and as they're learning about it.
Absolutely. So, you know, like we said, we want people coming together who actually represent the people who are getting organized for this revolution. So that means starting now. Okay, right now you can go to revcom.us and get the seeds of revolution and spread them everywhere. Okay, these are taken from the New Year's statement from Bob Avakian, and these can be posted up. And you can also get the poster announcing Revolutionary May Day celebrations and put that up in your neighborhood. On social media at the RevComs, you should follow it and get important, you know, information there, but also you can post things that are being spread and shared in that way. Okay, there's this declaration that people heard is also gonna be made into a form that can be printed out and distributed and shared, and that should be done.
All right, so all this information you can find out at our social
media. Okay. You know, the show you're watching, you should watch with others. And we're doing that in LA every Thursday. Wherever you are, get people together and watch this show that you're watching right now together with others.
All right. I didn't put you up to that, but this is what we're doing. This Revolution Nothing Less show is a voice of the revolution every week. And then you can see and go to revcom.us where you'll be able to read this statement that we just read earlier. And as Sansara read in that statement, that there's a longer version of that statement there. But also you're going to find a New Year's message from Bob Avakian that's on that site right up top. And this is very important because this statement lays out an orientation for what has just happened over the last period of time and the situation we're in and how we need to deal with it. You'll also find a statement there that we're going to be illustrating. You'll see it's coming up in this show. Bob Avakian for the Liberation of Black People and the Emancipation of All Humanity. So all of that is on our website, revcom.us. We talk about it and we illustrate it and we bring this to life on the RNL show. And Noche, we will, we're going to get some folks together really soon and get people working together so that we can get rid of this monster that's on the backs of humanity and is destroying our planet.
That's right.
That was Andy Z and Noche Diaz talking about International Revolutionary May 1st. And before that was a declaration, a call to get organized for a real revolution from the RevComs. And I wanted to repeat or emphasize some of the contact information from both the segments of the show today. For Miriam Klarin, you can find her on Twitter. Her Twitter handle is @Miriam_Klarin, and that's MARIAM_CLAREN, with a capital M and a capital C. The Emergency Campaign to Free Iran's Political Prisoners website is freeiranspoliticalprisonersnow.org. The website has the emergency appeal, which you can sign. You can also find them on Twitter with the handle @IranPrisonEmerge. And that's IranPrisonEmerg. And the statement from the RevComs you heard, a declaration, a call to get organized now for a real revolution. And that's on revcom.us. You can read the extended version, which digs into each of these points. So don't miss it. And that brings us to the end of yet another show. I want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson, my production assistant, Jeff Pryor, and each and every one of you for tuning in. If you want to share your thoughts and ideas about the show, or if you want to volunteer to be part of the show, write to me at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. Once again, that's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com.